Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Off and rolling. First June show of the year. Monday, June 2nd, 2025 is the date. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, Gabe Kuhn, on @Kuhn71. I'm alongside the executive producer of the show. That would be Connor Dunning on @CDunning1909. Connor, how's it going, brother?
What's up, weekend? Man? That was great.
Yeah.
It was great.
I made a plan, and I followed through with it on Saturday. Italian Fest. Good time. We got to kick it a little bit.
Excellent time.
You got to meet Myers.
Yes.
How about that?
Myers.
That was a good time.
Beautiful baby. Well, and happy baby.
Yeah. He was great. He was great. I got there at about 2. I ended up leaving at like 9, but that's beyond the point. Wife left a little bit early with him. But
what were you doing for all that time?
He went from about 2 to 8. No crying. I don't know if we had a single issue, just smiles and sleep.
He yearns for the Italian.
Yes,
he yearns for the Godfather.
Yeah. Yeah, that was fun.
Very good time.
And what was I doing between when my wife took him and I drank a little bit. I hadn't had a beer or anything in about 2.5 weeks. I wouldn't say I tied one on.
The recovery time from the beer Olympics was 2.5 weeks.
I wouldn't say I tied one on, but I felt it the next day. I felt it on Sunday. A little tired maybe coming into today as well. I'm all recovered, though, for the most part. You're good?
I'm good.
Good to hear. You had Taco Bell when you got home? That's a good sign.
You better believe. Yeah. I had Italian food, and then I got home, and I was really like, Taco Bell.
Next day, do you have any issues?
No.
Gastrointestinal problems?
No.
Okay,
I'm glad to go.
I'm glad to hear it.
Hey, bourbon treats me well.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear it. Now, we have 3 hours of talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. NBA Finals are set. We have the Thunder versus the Pacers. I'm going to explain to you why this is just like an insane escape from the norm. We talk about parity all the time. This is going to be a 7th different champion in 7 years, first time in NBA history that's been the case. But we're finding parity in other facets of the game in this particular NBA Finals matchup with the Thunder and the Pacers. I'll explain those. I also want to talk about the Eastern Conference Finals MVP. Pascal Siakam gets it? How about that? 5-4 was the final vote. 9 voters. 5 had Pascal Siakam. 4 had Tyrese Haliburton. We'll discuss that. Coach Prime, Deion Sanders, finally broke his silence on Shedeur Sanders' pre-draft process. He was with Asante Samuel on his podcast and discussed and talked about how he felt watching that unfold. We also have Tigers off-season workouts for basketball. They're beginning today. 13 scholarship players all on campus right now. Second straight year that's been the case. Not doing that late portal stuff. They're still waiting for Dane Danger. But we'll see how that all figures itself out. As far as guests are concerned, we're going to have at 5 o'clock David Cobb per normal on a Monday, Wednesday, and a Friday. And then 6 o'clock, Jason Smith will join from Jason and John. We have a lot to discuss with him. Now, before we went to the weekend, we knew there were two potential games left in that Knicks-Pacers series. But I think we both agreed Game 6 was going to be the end of it. Even though the Pacers played poorly in Game 5 in New York, Tyrese Halliburton had 6 points, didn't look good. We both had the idea, especially considering the way they sort of gave up, played reserves in the fourth quarter. Okay, they were putting that, and they were going to get back for Game 6 in Indiana and handle business. And they did in the biggest way, 125-108. Pascal Siakam, 31 points. Tyrese Halliburton, 21 points and 13 assists. It was back to normal. They looked good. And I thought it was a good game to end that series on heading into the NBA Finals on Thursday.
Yeah, I think when Game 5 was happening, we all knew what was going to happen. The Knicks were probably going to win it in Madison Square Garden. They had the stars there. They fought like hell. It was a valiant effort. But at the end of the day, we knew that the Pacers in this series were just the better team. They have shown it throughout the series, and it was going to be so difficult for the Knicks to beat the Pacers at home. And then the entire Pacers team showed up, played defense. They were efficient offensively. Their stars showed up, and they were able to take care of business against the Knicks. And as much as we enjoyed the New York Knicks, at the end of the day, depth and defense have won out in the playoffs, and we saw that happen again in the Eastern Conference Finals. You are seeing the two teams that are left in the NBA that, one, were the most healthy throughout the playoffs, two, had the most depth, and three, played the best defense. I think that is why you see these two teams matched up in the NBA Finals. Nothing surprising happened. I still think that the Pacers and Knicks was a fantastic series. It gave us some all-time classic games. Every single game, even the blowout, still had some sort of drama within them. So, you know, I've really enjoyed these playoffs. I'm excited for this NBA Finals matchup, but I also understand that it's not a super exciting one. It's two small market teams. But at the end of the day, I do think that we are going to get a very good champion this season in the NBA.
And we talked about it on Friday, but here's the conversation that's going to come up. I personally believe, I'm sure Connor personally believes, this is the best matchup we could have gotten once we saw the conference final set. The Pacers, up and down the floor, no pun intended, but one of the best paces in the game, scoring a lot of points, no real weak point on defense. Maybe you could point to Tyrese Halliburton, but that's a little bit much. He still is a solid defender. And then you have the Thunder, of course, playing deep as well, doing all that. They paced the game well, best defense in the game versus best offense in the game. We thought this would be the best matchup. We're going to continue to hear about TV ratings and everything else. I think what you should do with those TV ratings conversations is just sort of throw them out. There's no reason to discuss them. The NBA signed a $76 billion.
Billion dollar
TV rights, TV media deal this past offseason. And that's why it's transitioning away from TNT. You're going to have ESPN, NBC, and otherwise. We did have our final showing of Inside the NBA on TNT. And everybody, it seems, it's kind of weird to see the reaction to it not being on TNT. Maybe it'll change with ESPN. I heard Bill Simmons talk about this because their commercial breaks are a little bit different and they sell more commercials for their pregame and postgame show and all that. But it was weird to see the reaction as if Inside the NBA was like gone completely. It's just the last time it'll be on TNT. But they're still going to have the same production team, the same on-air team. Everybody was sort of reminiscing like it was leaving. Did you notice that? It felt like everybody was reminiscing like, oh, we're losing something great. Well,
I do.
It could be the same way over to ESPN, although we're going to have to wait and see.
I don't think it's going to be the same. I definitely think it's going to have a different feel to it. Unfortunately, I just trust ESPN very little when it comes right? to messing with good
That's
programming.
Fair.
Just look at what's happening to all of their shows right now. Look at what their current NBA coverage is. It's pretty bad. It's not very good at all. And Inside the NBA is built on allowing them to kind of go outside the lines, and I'm just not sure if ESPN's going to allow them to do that
well,
as much.
The only comeback I'd have to that, they have a show that runs midday that couldn't be any more. The only thing it is painting outside lines, coloring outside
lines. I'm talking
about
programming.
Sure.
They let them run long in moments. They let them kind of freestyle.
The Pat McAfee show is kind of strange in that realm, too.
Oh,
not just the on-air stuff, but
that's not the same thing.
But I'm just saying, like,
yeah,
I feel like they're a little more.
That's apples and oranges.
But they've been a little more willing to be more adaptable in the past few years when it comes to programming that everybody seems to like that they're paying for, that they're putting on their network.
Maybe. I think those are two different, very different shows, though. And to try to compare them doesn't... I don't think that that's the same.
But
one
I
of
guess
them is
the,
a...
the, in the end of the day, the point I'm making is Coloring Outside the Lines, they've been a little bit more adaptable in that realm in the past few years than they have been ever. ESPN has.
I guess so.
I know it's not a one-to-one comparison, but that's the point I'm trying to make.
I have some fears about what they may do to that show. It's and you've already heard some of the people on Inside the NBA talk about how they ran a test show, and it was a bit of a mess because ESPN got in there and they're meddling with things. It's Pat McAfee's allowed to kind of do whatever he wants on that network because right. the amount of money that they're paying him. And I think that the structure of Inside the NBA is very important, and I just hope that ESPN doesn't try to mess with that too much. And I'm going to be quite honest with you, don't try to put anybody on that show. Don't poison the well with a Kendrick Perkins showing up on that show. They don't need to change anything. They don't need guests. They don't need to make it a debate show. Just allow it to exist and allow it to run and just put your name on it. That is how they
That's
should run it.
They
is
should
that
do.
How they will? We will see.
I think
we will see.
It'll be a disaster if they don't. They're going to have to make some concessions. They're going to. If you're bringing that over to your network, you have to understand that you have to keep the semblance of what it's been in the past alive. You know what I mean? Like, I hope ESPN doesn't make that mistake, but I understand people are hesitant to believe that ESPN is going to bend the knee to the guys on Inside the NBA. I just hope that they fix it because whatever it is will be better than what they have right now on ESPN.
Speaking of TNT, what have you made of Knicks fans losing their mind about Reggie Miller being a part of this series and being a part of the trophy presentation?
What I make of it is Knicks fans are going to be Knicks fans. I sort of expected this, I guess is the best way to put it. A guy who killed the Knicks in the past coming back as the Knicks go down in six games to help with the trophy presentation, called every game. I figured they would respond poorly to it. But Knicks fans are crazy. Knicks fans are a little off the wall. I don't have any overwhelming take. Why do you?
I think my take is I find it hypocritical for Knicks fans to be upset that Reggie Miller was involved with TNT when you turn on ESPN and during the pregame, postgame, halftime show,
Stephen A. Smith,
you have Stephen A. Smith
right.
and then Mike Breen.
Yeah.
If you're going to call, it's the same thing.
Yes.
It's just because Reggie Miller whooped y'all's ass a couple of times.
And just because you lost this series too, by the way.
And just because he's a player and just, yeah, it's, I felt Reggie Miller being a part of this series, being a broadcaster, which, by the way, I think he did a pretty damn good job of being
yes.
mostly unbiased, and he gave us an amazing moment when he was doing the Palpatine laugh
yeah.
after Tyrese Halliburton did the choke signal. That was
and
fantastic television.
Honestly,
I think he did a good job, and for him to be a part of that trophy ceremony made all of the sense in the world to me.
I think, yes, your point about Stephen A. Smith and Mike Breen, Stephen A. Smith in particular,
right.
like he's an unabashed
he
Knicks
is
fan.
One of the biggest Knicks fans
I
we
don't
know.
Think he ever tries to keep it
no,
you know,
never.
You know, neutral ever
never.
When it comes to the Knicks. So, like, I think if you're going to have a problem with Reggie Miller, you certainly have to have a bigger problem with Stephen A. Smith. But, you know, I will say this in general. I don't really get involved with those conversations anymore because the lines have been blurred so much, you know, from a journalistic integrity standpoint, if that's what you want to call it. I think there's a lot of times in the past we've had fans of certain teams calling games, pregame show, whatever. You're going to call that out because that's not what journalism is supposed to be. You're supposed to be unbiased. You're supposed to be neutral. I think we've blurred those lines so much in the past, I don't know, decade, where I don't even care about those conversations anymore, Connor. Do you? It's just like, you know, we're unabashed. We're shameless about it at this point. We've moved to a different day and age. A decade or 15 years ago, I probably would have called this out the same way that Knicks fans are calling it out. But in 2025? No, I don't care. I think we've blurred those lines enough to where we just have moved past that era of journalism to a certain extent. And I know some older journalists are annoyed by that and you know, being partial to one team, but I just think we're so far removed from the day and age where that mattered.
I think it had way more to do with Reggie Miller's history with the Knicks than
Absolutely.
His actual calls. He had a few moments, like when Cat went down, for instance, and he said that it was all for show. That was a bad moment by Reggie
yes.
Miller. That was incorrect. He shouldn't have said that. That was a bit silly.
But I didn't even mind the point that he gave to Tyrese Halliburton after the the entire shot.
No, that was great. Of course he's going to do that.
Right.
If Stephen A. Smith had been on the call, he would have done something very similar when the Knicks had their comeback win.
If Jalen Brunson knocked it in.
I find it, at the end of the day, the NBA is entertainment. And having Reggie Miller involved in this brings an extra level of entertainment to me.
Yes.
I was happy he was a part of it. I thought he did well on the job. I've actually weirdly become a Reggie Miller defender to some degree. I think that he is much better than people give him credit for. When I listen to the playoffs and I listen to and Reggie Miller's on the call, to me it sounds like the playoffs. And I don't understand why people dislike him so much. I've never really understood
I think he just yaps sometimes. That's my biggest
complaint
about
him. No, his literal job is to be yapping.
But sometimes he'll be yapping about a potential review, and he's completely wrong about it. Although in this series, I thought him and Stan Van mostly understood what
Stan
was going
Van
on.
Stan Van is the one that I understand some of the gripes about a little bit more. Because some of his stuff is like, all right, dude, let's relax a little bit. He is very biased during series. You can tell who he wants to win almost all of the time. I don't know. It's just during this, I thought Reggie Miller brought something extra to the series. It was a rivalry. It's a historic rivalry. And to be quite honest, the Pacers have kind of owned it for the last 20 years anyway. And having him there just added a villain. And I think having more villains in the NBA and during a series provides extra entertainment. And it's just Knicks fans losing their mind about Reggie Miller. It's like, listen, y'all, he didn't play. He wasn't involved in the games.
But in the end
still lost.
In the end of the day,
it didn't change the outcome.
I don't want a cheerleader in the booth.
I don't think
Reggie Miller was that guy. And I also think, just again, in a general sense, we've blurred the lines of fandom and journalism and calling games and analysis. So it's like, I think these are older gripes that we're not going to put the toothpaste back in the tube, if you will. We have gone far away from the non-partial, unbiased journalist analyst.
I also think when somebody has spent their entire career with one team, like he spent 18 years with the Pacers. Yeah. They hadn't been to the NBA Finals since 2000. When he was on the roster.
He's part of the call during the regular season. What, are you going to pull him off the call just because the Pacers are playing?
Right.
Maybe, again, 20 years ago, but not now.
Right.
Not now. No one cares. Except for Knicks fans, apparently. All right, now Eastern Conference Finals MVP, Pascal Siakam gets 5 votes. Tyrese Haliburton gets 4 votes. Before we get into it, I'll give you the stats. Tyrese Haliburton, 21 points per game in this series. Pascal Siakam, 24.8. Rebounds per game, Tyrese Haliburton, 6. Pascal Siakam, 5. Assists per game, 10.5 for Tyrese Haliburton, 3.5 for Pascal Siakam. Field goal percentage, though, this is where Pascal took the cake. 52% to 45%, and then 50% to 32% of Tyrese Haliburton. Do you think, Connor, that they got this right? Do you think this is the correct, rightful Eastern Conference Finals MVP?
I don't think they got it right, but I don't think that means Pascal Siakam was undeserving.
Correct.
I just think they gave
That's fair.
They should have given it to Tyrese Haliburton because, in my opinion, we are going to think of this series for the rest of time. We are going to think of Tyrese Haliburton, and he had the stats to back it up. Now, that being said, he did have one very bad game.
Yep.
But in that same game, Pascal Siakam only had 15 points.
But he was the best player in the starting lineup.
I guess so.
But who cares?
I guess so. By default.
I figured they should have. I thought.
Everybody tripped and
you
won the race.
This is the way I would have voted on it. I would have wiped Game 5 off
the
face of the earth.
Right, 100%.
Why am I voting based on, you know, percentages and averages when Game 5 was just a blip on the radar?
Right.
4 of the starting 5 for the Pacers were in single digits. Benedict Mathurin was their leading scorer.
Right.
And they got killed. So I wish they would have just thrown that out as a talking point.
But like, even though I think that Tyrese Haliburton should have won, I completely understand why Pascal Siakam won.
Right.
He was incredible in this series. He had a couple of 30-point performances. I think that you told me he had 3 30-point performances. He was very good defensively. He showed up when they needed him the most. He was the veteran on that team that helped them get to the NBA Finals. And I understand why he won. I just think that Tyrese Haliburton made everything go for the Indiana Pacers, and he had quite literally a performance that we had never seen before. So that, in my opinion, was deserving of the most valuable player of the Eastern Conference Finals.
The Pascal Siakam case is pretty simple. More points, better efficiency.
Right, right.
When they got into half-court situations like you do in the NBA playoffs in the fourth quarter, third quarter, second half of a game, he was the guy that you could rely on. Let him face up and go get a bucket or take a mid-range, take a three, whatever it is. He was their source of half-court offense. But the reason I think Tyrese Halliburton should have got it is similar to yours. He set up everything. Like, when we talk about Pascal Siakam getting the points he did and the stats he did, who's the setup man for most of those possessions? It's going to be Tyrese Halliburton. And he had 10.5 assists per game, and I think only turned the ball over twice per game, like right around 2 as an average turnover. So 10-2 assist to turnover ratio. And I also think, you know, when we talk about the clutch moments in the fourth quarter, if they don't get that ricochet and bounce in game one, they lose that game. This series may go to 7. The Knicks may win. So, like, I just look at impact. And Pascal Siakam had plenty of impact. That's not what I'm arguing. But when you talk about somebody who is most valuable, who if you take them off the floor, do the Indiana Pacers have a chance to win a certain game against the New York Knicks? If you take Tyrese Halliburton off that floor, you don't have the best facilitator in the series. You don't have a guy who's setting up the rest of his teammates, and you don't have a guy who averaged, again, 21 points per game, not that far off the 24 that Pascal Siakam averaged. Now, you could view this and the feel and the pace and how he handled himself as the lead on-ball guy. You could view that as an abstract type of reason behind why Tyrese Halliburton ultimately should have won the award. But when I watched that team and I watched that series, without Tyrese Halliburton on the floor, the Pacers are not able to handle themselves the same way. I think Pascal Siakam, yes, he has another case in that. That's why this was so close. But Tyrese Halliburton, to me, is a prime example of, if I take this guy off the floor, he's so irreplaceable, the Knicks win the series.
Yes, I agree with that. I think that I don't think the Pacers win without either of them. I just think that Tyrese Halliburton allows more things to happen for the Pacers. And when he had the iconic moment that he did in that game, combined with a historic performance and basically averaging a double-double the entire series, yeah, it made sense for him to get it. And I think that it was a surprise to pretty much everybody, including Pascal Siakam and Tyrese Halliburton, as you can see on the footage, that Tyrese didn't get it. I think the expectation was, of course, Tyrese Halliburton's going to get
sure.
it. It's one of those moments where sometimes I think we overthink things when we're voting, and I think writers overthink things. Give it to the guy that had the narrative. He had the stats to back it up. He was the star of the series. And again, 10 years from now, we're not going to be talking about Pascal Siakam scoring 30 points in one of these games. We're going to be talking about the performance that Tyrese Halliburton had and the shot that he had to send game one into overtime.
Yeah. Yeah.
That being said, congrats to Pascal Siakam. Great player.
I just think Halliburton is the engine for that team.
Yes.
Pascal Siakam is, you know, if we're going to stick with the car, I don't even know what I would compare him to, you know, if Halliburton's the engine. But I think Halliburton makes everything move, sets up everything for them on the offensive end of the floor, and that's why he ultimately should have gotten Eastern Conference Finals MVP. I think he got docked, really, if I'm just looking at the stats. I think he got docked pretty heavily for Game 5.
I was talking to Parker about this through text recently. If Pascal Siakam gets another ring, his career is going to get interesting. It's going to get interesting.
I think it already is.
Well, I'm talking about, like, Hall of Fame. He's, like, not as far away as I think most people believe he is. And if he gets a second ring with the Pacers, I would be curious how most people would view his career, because he's already a champion. He's a three-time All-Star.
Two-time first-team All-NBA.
No, not first-team.
Oh, but
two-time All-NBA. He won NBA Most Improved.
Most Improved, yeah.
Eastern Conference Finals now.
Averages are 26-3. I don't know. I don't think he's...
He's not far away.
I don't think he's far off at all, but I maybe add another All-Star performance.
Plus, I know this might not matter to much people anymore, but like the D-League, he was a champion. He was the D-League Finals MVP. He has a solid resume, and that's why if they are able to beat the Thunder, plus just not allowing the Thunder to win an NBA championship, put all of them in the Hall of Fame,
right.
I think that would be good enough for me if they could just prevent this stupid team from winning an NBA championship, even though, you know, they're a historic team and things like that. I just don't want them to win it. The Pacers are our final hope. They are the NBA fans' final hope to prevent the Oklahoma City Thunder from winning.
But the finals are set. Oklahoma City Thunder, the one seed out of the West, and the four seed out of the East, the Indiana Pacers. These teams played twice in the regular season. The Thunder won both times, 120-114 at Indiana, 132-111 at OKC. Although you do have to take into consideration, in both of those games, Chet Holmgren was out. Aaron Nesmith was also out for the game in Indiana. So I don't think either team was at full strength when they played each other. But again, the Oklahoma City Thunder won both times. And one of my favorite sidebar stories about this finals in particular is the Paul George. It's the Paul George trade finals. Indy traded Paul George to OKC for Victor Oladipo and Domantas Sabonis. Indy took Sabonis, then traded him for Tyrese Halliburton. OKC traded George for SGA and picks. One of those picks, on top of the SGA acquisition, was Jalen Williams, J-Dub. So three of the four All-Stars playing in the 2025 NBA Finals were acquired through Paul George trades. It's the Paul George Finals. You trade Paul George, you can get into the NBA Finals. Also, something to watch for in this series, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander could become the third player all-time to win the scoring title, MVP, and an NBA championship, the NBA Finals, in the same season. The only other two to do it, do you know them off the top?
Michael Jordan, definitely.
Michael Jordan did it four times.
Yeah.
Who's the other?
Say it again. It's MVP.
You won MVP, scoring title, championship, all in one season. This guy did
Shaq?
It once. It's Shaq. So Jordan and Shaq are the only other two players
ball knower
to be able to do this. Now, what we've talked about on a consistent basis when it comes to the NBA and these NBA playoffs is parity, right? And there's obvious parity. These are small market teams, and they haven't won a championship because the Thunder do not claim the Supersonics 1979 title. They could be a first-time NBA champion, same with the Indiana Pacers. So it's parity in itself. This is the first time since the Heat-Mavs in 2006 where both teams were looking for the franchise's first NBA championship. But, like, when you look at this particular matchup, it goes deeper than that. It goes way deeper than that. There's now parity in team building. We are coming off of a day and age and an era where we would have superstars teaming up, Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, Rajon Rondo. We had all of these consolidated teams with all the superstar talent in one area. That's why they won championships. We're coming off of that era into this new era, and with those particular teams, they were all in the luxury tax, right? There was no real parity on how to go win a championship. You had to have a superstar. You had to have a guy that was an all-star, a consistent all-NBA guy. Now we're at this point where Oklahoma City and Indiana, they're the first NBA finals since the luxury tax was in effect where neither team was a taxpayer. So now we have parity in team building. How do you build a team to get to a championship? It's different than it ever has been. You have to find good role players. Sure, you have to have a guy at the top that's orchestrating things, Tyrese Halliburton for the Pacers, SGA for the Oklahoma City Thunder. But at the same time, you have to build that team correctly, and it doesn't necessarily take the most amount of money. It's about acquisition, smart drafting, and developing. Also, there's parity in who's winning titles. What is the common theme that we've talked about since we've played NBA basketball? Oh, you get to 26, 27. That's where normally people win their championships. We saw it with Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown had to get past 25. They had to have a few runs at that thing. Then they finally broke through at 26, 27. That's the constant conversation we have. Well, both these teams are in the top half when it comes to youngest teams in the NBA. The Oklahoma City Thunder, 24 years of age average. The Pacers, 25 years age is their average age on their particular roster. So we have parity now in who's winning, how they're winning, what age they're going to be. And then the other thing, and I referenced this last week, Connor, and we had a pretty good discussion about it, but what we've talked about in NBA playoffs of the past is defense is going to shine through. You're not going to play with the same pace, and you're not going to be as deep as you have in the past. Well, we have parity in that as well. We have parity. The Thunder and the Pacers are top 10 in pace in the NBA during the regular season and in these NBA playoffs. Also, on top of that, these teams play nine deep. They don't play that 7-8-man rotation. They play as many guys as they need to potentially get over top and keep their guys nice and fresh when they hit the floor. So we have parity not just in who is in the championship, but how they have gotten to a championship. It's a very interesting escape from the norm of NBA seasons past.
Yeah, and again, I think these two teams also show, and people can argue as much as they want to about team building and all of these things. Health is the most important thing. It's the most important factor to winning an NBA championship. Go find me an NBA champion of the last few years, maybe ever, that wasn't healthy throughout the playoffs. That wasn't the teams that were the most healthy that made it to the NBA Finals. It matters the most. And that's why when we talk about recently about we don't think the Grizzlies are that far away, if the Grizzlies are fully healthy, that team is much closer than you think that they are. But they do need to make some moves around the margins, very similar to how we've seen the Oklahoma City Thunder do it and how we've seen the Indiana Pacers do it. Nate Duncan put out a really interesting stat recently that I think highlights that this magical trade that I think that some people believe is present for the Grizzlies may not be as present, because NBA champions since the mid-80s that acquired their best player by trade, not counting trades agreed upon before the player got drafted or signed in trades. In 2008, Boston got Kevin Garnett. That led to an NBA championship. 2019, Toronto got Kawhi Leonard. That led to an NBA championship. 2025, OKC, they got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in a trade when he was very young. They got Tyrese Halliburton in a trade when he was very young. It's more difficult to do than it appears. The way you need to build a team is through your draft and through marginal signings. And that is what the Grizzlies need to go out there and do this offseason. They've got to find wing players. They need to use that MLE. If they can do a sign and trade that may involve a guy like Santi Aldama, do that. If you can go get Herb Jones, do that. But it's this big fish or this magical player that comes in through trade is more difficult, I think, than it appears to be. It's easier said than done.
A lot of the hurdles that we have discussed regarding the Grizzlies, oh, maybe they don't want to go into the tax. Well, you don't need to go into the tax to win a championship. Look at these two teams this year. We talk about, okay, pace and half-court offense. Well, these teams, yeah, they can play in the half-court, but they like to get out and run. They're two of the fastest teams
you need to be
in
able
the
to do
NBA.
Both.
You need to be able to do both, but they still, that's been a weapon
defense
for them even in the playoffs.
Defense first.
Also, we've talked about in the past, well, you know, the Grizzlies, when they were winning 52 games or 50 games and at the top of the Western Conference in the second spot, it was about depth. Their depth was just so good. You're not going to be able to use that in the playoffs. Well, these teams are completely flipping that narrative. The depth is still a good thing for them as they've gotten into the NBA Finals and made this run to the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
So, again, like these hurdles that we feel like are in the way of the Memphis Grizzlies, I think these two teams have gone a long way to showing us those hurdles aren't quite as high as you think.
Right. That being said, if there is a move that would require you to go into the tax that would make this team much better and put them into true contention, do it. Do not avoid the tax just because you want to avoid it.
Correct.
If you have to go into it, you absolutely should. Like, the Grizzlies shouldn't sacrifice talent or sacrifice roster building to avoid the tax.
Correct.
That is something that we are not saying. We are just saying that these teams have shown that it is possible to do that because you have to be smart with your money. You've got to be smart with your money. You've got to be smart with your roster building. You've got to be smart with your drafting. And that's exactly what the Pacers and the Thunder did. The Thunder did it more through signings and trades, where the Indiana Pacers did it more through team building. And like then they found just guys on the bargain bin. And it's still crazy to me. I kind of forgot that Tyrese Haliburton did not get drafted by the Pacers.
Right.
I forgot that he began
played for the Kings?
In Sacramento. What a bad trade for the Kings.
Well,
kinda. I mean, they had some high
obviously
moments.
Obviously, it's hindsight for sure.
But man.
But Fox and him, that was never going to make sense. Having him and De'Aaron Fox next to each other. Obviously, you look back at it and you're like, damn. They could have had something pretty special, but obviously they make their decision because they made their decision. Now, neither of those guys are on the Kings anymore. The Kings have had a lot of talent through the years.
They certainly have.
And they've just never been able to really get over that hump. Haven't even won a series. Good God. That's sad. That's sad to think about.
Like the meme.
Yeah. All right. Now, Coach Prime, Deion Sanders, has spoken up on Shedeur Sanders' fall to the fifth round. He was on Asante Samuel's podcast over the week. We know that at the end of April, when the 2025 NFL draft was on our television sets and screens, one of the biggest conversations was Shedeur Sanders. He could have been a top 10 pick, according to most mock drafts, but he ends up falling to the fifth round to the Cleveland Browns. Now, his dad, Deion Sanders, Coach Prime, has not really spoken on this until now. But over the weekend, he was on the Say What Needs to Be Said podcast with former NFL cornerback, all-pro cornerback Asante Samuel, and he finally broke his silence about Shadur's fall in the draft. Here's that conversation. All right. Now, I do want to be clear in that minute and 30-second clip. My first reaction when I saw this was, I wish, and I know this was not going to happen, I wish that the Deion could take a little bit of it on the chin, because he was the same guy that talked about aiming his kid at certain places and not wanting to play for certain franchises. And back in the day, he brought up the Browns as one of those franchises, of course.
Attention, sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus TNC supply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Shadur Sanders ends up with them in the fifth round. And also, when it comes to not being prepared, that was not just out of thin air. Brian Daboll and the Giants and all those guys made it very clear that once Shadur Sanders could not answer certain questions about what he was seeing on film, he basically told them, well, you know, maybe I shouldn't be coming to your franchise in the first place. So I think there was a level, a part of this, where Deion projected how he came into the NFL onto his son. Deion, all he did for the combine is he flew in, ran a 40, left, and he was going to be drafted at the top of the draft anyway. That's not Shadur Sanders' situation. He was not as physically gifted, and I felt like Deion tried to play it the same way. There was an arrogance about it, I will admit. Now, to a certain extent, I think that could be viewed as just overwhelming confidence, because when Shadur Sanders hits a football field, he does some great things. and he has done some great things. So I wish that Coach Prime, Shador, Sanders family could understand maybe they didn't treat this process with the respect and care that it deserved. I fully am on board if anybody has that take. I agree with that. Now, getting to what he said, I agree with him in a lot of ways. To paint Shador Sanders as an unprepared guy who doesn't take the game seriously, it couldn't be further from the truth. Like Deion Sanders said, he had six different offensive coordinators at Jackson State in Colorado, and he still succeeded every step of the way. He was an offensive player of the year his final year at Colorado. He did a great job, set all the records for a two-year span in Colorado history at the quarterback position. So to act as if he's going to take that unpreparedness that he had in those certain interviews and carry that over to his NFL career seems insane to me. It seems ridiculous. And one thing I mentioned the day after it happened that I'll mention right now, I mentioned it that Monday after the NFL draft. I think one thing that was missing and one thing that NFL scouts and front offices sort of glossed over is, yeah, maybe he's acting a little arrogant in these interviews. Maybe he's not as prepared as you want to. But once he gets into your organization and gets into a quarterback room, you're making it seem as if he's not going to have the self-awareness to understand he has to earn his spot. I know that he played generational daddy ball when he was in college, but he also was the best quarterback in his room and clearly studied the game or else he wouldn't have put up those stats. You don't fall into those stats by doing nothing behind the scenes, not studying film, not practicing hard. So I think that's the one thing that was neglected through this entire process when it came to scouts and GMs and higher-ups and organizations. They felt as if the interviews that he gave were going to carry over to the National Football League, and I don't think that's going to be the case. Now, we'll see if he ever breaks through with the Cleveland Browns. It's going to be hard to. That's where quarterbacks go to die, and I'm for him, relatively sad that he ended up with that organization. But I think that everyone had this thought of Shador and Deion and the Sanders family, and they neglected to realize that you don't fall into the stats and the success that he had in college by just being cocky, by just being arrogant. You have to have some self-awareness. You have to study the game. You have to care about the game. And I felt like that neglected to be mentioned through the entire process.
Yeah, I think that I don't understand why he fell so far. And I do think that NFL teams allowed some narratives to take hold that maybe weren't necessarily true. At the same time, I understand that there may have been some frustration with some of the things that he chose to skip. He probably shouldn't have. You saw a lot of players who decided to go through with those things get drafted ahead of him, and it may have just been because they simply got more eyeballs on him and were able to do more workouts with them. And that is ultimately, I think, a mistake on Sanders.
Right.
But I do think that to question his overall care when we have years of evidence that he does care and he does help elevate his team and he does have good performances is a bit too far. Like, trying to pretend like a kid wearing headphones is a huge deal.
Or a tilted hat,
yeah,
or something
like that. What are we doing?
Yeah. We're overthinking something that doesn't need that much overthinking.
Correct.
Now, I will agree with you on your point, because I think that they skipped certain things, didn't run, didn't do all these things when they should have. And that goes back to the conversation I had off the top.
Right.
I think Coach Prime needs to take that one on the chin, because he went through this process as if Shador was Deion. And that's not at all what it was. Deion, you ran a 4.2, right? Deion, you were one of the best corner that college football's ever seen, that the NFL's ever seen. You're still the GOAT. You had at your disposal unarguable physical attributes. Inarguable physical attributes that were going to get you drafted at the top of the draft, no matter how cocky, arrogant you came off, no matter how bad your interviews were, your physical attributes were going to carry you over the top. And I felt as if, through this process, Coach Prime projected that onto his son when that is not even close to who his son is as a prospect. His son's not the fastest. Son doesn't have the best arm. his son holds on the ball too long. There's some things that you had to correct coming into the league as opposed to Deion when he was at Florida State going into the league. But I felt that Deion let his experience bleed over into Shador's more than it needed to, because they were not a one-for-one comparison and never were going to be that. Shador has some things that he has to work on. He has some things that he'll never be overly great at. He's not the most athletic guy in the room. He doesn't have an 80-yard deep ball. That's just not who he is as a player. So I wish that the Sanders family and Coach Prime would have understood that and taken these pre-draft things a little more serious on the front end.
Right, yeah. I think that that's very true. Is you got to let Shador make his own way. And I just think that
He was going to have to work harder to get where he wanted to go than you did.
Just a little bit more.
Deion.
Like a couple more workouts
probably
would have changed his fortune in the draft. It's I think that that's a
And a couple more interviews where you're taking him a little more seriously.
Right, right. That being said, I still think it's ridiculous how far he fell.
I agree.
It makes no sense at all. Some of the quarterbacks that got taken in front of him, you're like, what are we doing? Like Dylan Gabriel, really?
Tyler Shuck.
Yeah, like come on. That's absolutely insane.
It's silly. It really is. Now, we do have a little bit more on Shador Sanders and the Cleveland Browns situation. We'll talk about a little bit later in the Blitz. But Joe Flacco last week, did you see that clip?
I'm disappointed.
I'm not gonna, you know, spoil it. But Joe Flacco did his he got asked the mentor question. You gonna be a mentor or you gonna be not be a mentor? And that quote may surprise you to a certain extent.
How do they keep getting it wrong?
Such an easy question to answer. It really does. It really does. All right. Also in the NFL, I saw this today, and he was actually in my particular draft class. Frank Ragnow, center from Arkansas, played 7 seasons for the Detroit Lions. He has retired. He has retired after 7 seasons, only 29 years of age. He cited wanting to be there for his family long term. And I have grown more and more respect for guys that decide to do this. When Andrew Luck retired, I had the same exact take. I know there were people in Indianapolis that were, you know, crapping all over him and were angry at him for making the decision he did then. But if you want to stick around and have your wits about you and protect your head and your body from further deterioration, then you make this decision when you make it. And I'm not going to shame you for it. But Frank Ragnow was a 4-time Pro Bowler. He was an All-Pro for the Lions. And this is going to be really tough for the Lions to replace, man. They're in their golden age in the 21st century, and now you have to replace somebody at center. Now, they did draft Tate Ratledge from Georgia in the 2nd round of this year's NFL draft. There's some thought that he could step into center and replace him and be that next guy in line. But Frank Ragnow, I respect this decision so much because if you followed his career at all, one, he was there for the dog years of the beginning of Dan Campbell and the Lions organization really thriving. He sat there through 2-win seasons, 3-win seasons, no chance at ever touching the playoffs. He stuck around all that time and got to this point. So I'm glad he got to see success, but he had to fight through a bunch of nastiness to get there. But also the past 2 years, he's dealt with injuries in the worst way, and he has still fought through them and stayed on the field.
Right.
He had a throat injury a couple of years ago.
A fractured throat.
And he stayed on the field and played. I don't know how you do that. So he's tough as nails. But then last year, I don't know if a bunch of people are privy to this, he tore his pec off the bone. His pectoral muscle was torn off of his sternum or wherever it attaches to, off the bone, and he continued to play center for the Detroit Lions.
And he was a Pro Bowler.
And he was still a Pro Bowler. So I saw this, and it's sad, but when you look at the circumstances of how he's leaving the game, he's leaving on top, but he's also leaving when his body was breaking down and deteriorating, and he was trying to fight through it. And the more you do that, the worse you are off by the time you get to 40 and 50 years of age. But shout out to Frank Ragnow for making this decision. Lions have a tough sort of, you know, succession plan on their hands. What are they going to do? Is Tate Ratledge going to be that guy? But Frank Ragnow, after 7 seasons out of the University of Arkansas, had 29 years of age, 4 Pro Bowls in 7 years, a couple of All-Pro selections in 7 years. He is stepping away from the National Football League and from the Detroit Lions.
And I'm glad the Lions really took care of him during his career. Like, they made him at one time the highest paid center in the NFL. The Lions have really gone from the laughingstock of the NFL to one of the best run franchises in the league. They take care of their players and their people.
Yes, Dan Campbell gets a lot of credit for that because he's very clearly like, players first, I'm going to take care of you guys. But the other guy that deserves probably even more credit.
Brad Holmes.
And this is Brad Holmes, the general manager. He does things that in the past have been viewed as the worst way to go about it. When he drafted Jack Campbell, an off-ball linebacker, and Jahmyr Gibbs, a running back, in the top 15 picks, people or 20
lost their mind.
People lost their mind. But those guys are a big reason he was in the NFC Championship 2 years ago and was the best team in the NFC last year. Brian Branch, a safety, a free safety at the top of the second round. That's not a very valuable position. People laughed at him when he made that pick. That's an all-pro now. And then you just look at the way they operate as opposed to the rest of the National Football League. The Cowboys are so hesitant to pay the guys that have gotten them to the playoffs big money when their due date is there. Micah Parsons is
ready to level up. Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Still working for his deal. Why does he not have it? CeeDee Lamb took forever to re-up him. Dak Prescott took forever to re-up him. But when you look at the Lions, last offseason, going into this offseason, Penei Sewell has his deal. Taylor Decker got his deal at left tackle. Jared Goff got his deal. Amon-Ra St. Brown got his deal. So they have an understanding where I think a lot of NFL franchises fail. They have an understanding that we need to take care of the people that have taken care of us. Let's make sure that we operate in good faith. And you know what that also does? It makes people want to play for your franchise. Regardless of if you're in Detroit or wherever, LA, it doesn't matter. If you treat your people the right way, people are going to want to play for you. So I think Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell deserve a lot of credit. No doubt. All right, now hour number two is on the way, and we'll open it up talking with David Cobb from CBS Sports. We have some college football and some college basketball to discuss with him next.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.